telling me we got a couple of days on the team.
And that got picked up on the stream.
There we go.
Sound check works.
Yes. Yes, we are certainly live at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Mm-hmm. All right. Hello and welcome to Pack Tactics, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign setting. My name is Crash, and I queued something up and now I've lost it. Okay. So you'd better come home quickly, and you'd better hide very soon. As posted by one Ellie on Elec.xyz. Alright, so tonight I am joined by a bunch of fantastic people, as I usually am. We have Ellie, admin of Elec.xyz, as mentioned earlier. EO, whose mom writes books, Elizabeth-McCoy.com. Jen, who writes and podcasts at bookofjen.net, and we have a Patreon at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Now I've got the plugs out of the way so that people who don't listen to the end have heard them anyway. You can't run now. They all fast forwarded. Never mind. All right. So, as we've been
also
doing...
Cindy.
Hmm?
Cindy.
Also, that's right. I'm reading off the plug list, and Cindy doesn't have anything for me to plug. But when she does, well, you probably won't hear it first because we've got like 5 subscribers. But... you will hear it. And Archbreath is in the chat, because Archbreath is always in the chat. Yay! We appreciate you. Okay, so, what happened last week?
Well, first we were given an impossible choice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We did our best to hedge the bets and go to the valley and hope we can find whatever is compelling Deucalion to attack before he wreaks too much damage, but that is a gamble. Then we got in a fight with 4 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them killed 2 of the others, and we eventually won, killing 2 of them completely, and 2 of them flew off in mist form.
And Zili somehow failed a charisma save.
These things happen.
But she got to talk directly to Bahamut for a bit.
True.
We think, yeah. And Gox was temporarily convinced that both a mouse and a badger that had sort of maybe been summoned into the room we were fighting in were in fact Zili, but then he learned they weren't. He was kind of distracted fighting this guy with a big sword.
Yeah, that was kind of distracting.
Mm-hmm.
It is distracting to fight a guy with a big sword.
Yep.
Especially
when we all got then. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially when he's killing people every other round.
Yeah, you know. And some of them were his friends, we thought. But no. Yeah. Yeah. And then we all got in a tiny hut and had a long rest, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Does that sound right?
Wait, why did we long rest?
We got in a tiny hut and we potentially had a long rest.
Oh, I thought we did. I'm sorry. I hit long rest because I thought we did.
Because we have a magic item to find still.
Yeah, I was thinking we'd probably try to figure out where those magic items were before we dedicated to a rest.
Okay, so my character sheet is inaccurate
now. It's okay. It's okay. If I honestly forgot about that part from last week, so I'm really glad that I had you go over it. This works out well for the DM.
Yeah.
Do I need to...
I think we're kind of technically debating whether we rest or not when we called it a night.
I think, I'm a little off, sorry.
Well, your characters were a little off after a 3-hour battle. 3-hour of streaming time, not 3-hour of in-game time. But it was still more than 12 seconds, which is above average for the vast majority of your fights these days.
That's true. That battle lasted for like half a minute.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, Marwise almost died. Gox would have died if it weren't for lots of healing magic.
Right. Yeah,
Zili was temporarily in a plane of blackness.
Yeah, for like 3 turns.
Yeah.
So the battle was raging for a decent amount of time before Zili got banished.
This is true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's understandable that afterwards you, as a party, felt like, you know, there's more to do, but I don't have the spell slots for this.
Yeah.
So we could run off and die, or we could go there after getting our spell slots back, and then they die.
Yeah, we could run off and die, or we could rest and take our revenge.
Yeah,
Gox still doesn't have his spell slots back.
No, yeah, there has been no bacon at all. You know, he's missing that.
So we should probably ask the guy who owns the tower. I keep forgetting his name. If he can,
Fiddle Punch.
Fiddle Punch. Yes, we should probably ask Fiddle Punch if he can try to track down a magical item that can command dragons while we rest.
Right. So you'll just stay in this impenetrable sphere that protects you from all harm, while you send the guy with no combat abilities out to go investigate things.
I don't know how your magic works. I thought you'd be able to look at a map or run some machines and say it's in this direction. If it requires you to leave the tower, then never mind.
I can only do that when it fits the plot.
This Maybe entire we should tower take a short MacGuffin. Rest.
Yeah, a short rest would get some of my stuff back.
Okay. While you are doing a short rest, because that seems to be what you're interested in, or we could continue to debate whether or not you're doing a long rest or a short rest for 5 minutes. We could do that too. Fiddle Punch finishes with his complaining about going out into his own tower.
Right.
Afterwards, it occurs to you that he may have just been joking, but he was almost killed last week, so maybe he wasn't. You haven't spent enough time around him to really get a hold of his sense of humor. When he returns, he says, I found some things, but I'm going to need to look into it further. I need to do some translations, and I can do them. They're within my wheelhouse, but it's going to take a little while. That battle was very thorough. I was there for the end of it, and I will say that the vast majority of the corpses were too badly burned for anything non-evil to be salvageable. But if you want a collection of bones and maybe a sword that is slightly possessed, we do have that available.
That doesn't sound so good.
No, it doesn't sound good.
Unless the sword is the thing that controls things.
It might control you if you held on to it. I only handled it with tongs.
That's probably smart.
Yeah. I sent a message to Lord Idris. He's better at investigating these kinds of things. He's going to look into it.
That makes sense.
And people are so what recovering hit points where are we from going the now? Short rest as we're talking.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you want to investigate the farm, Fiddle Punch does have a way for you to get there quickly. He does have, as part of his tower, a trebuchet. And it's not necessarily made for the transportation of living things, but if you happen to be an entity that is able to negate fall damage because, say, you might be equipped with wings, he might be able to expedite the process of you getting from point A, the tower, to point B, Meepo's farm, with a device that could be used to create a temporary summoning circle so that everyone else could just pop over real quick.
Excellent. I'll do that then.
Okay. He hands you a beetle that is about a foot across from the left side to the right side. It is totally mechanical. There are little glass windows that you can see moving gears inside of them. It's got brass inlay on it. It looks really fancy. And he says, take care of this. You are not the first kobold I've handed this to. You probably won't be the last the way things are going. I'm okay with this because she took care of it too.
I'll take care of it, I promise.
Okay. When you arrive, just set it down and it'll do the rest.
Excellent.
All right. Just have a seat right here under on the thing that looks like a porch swing.
Right. Let's see how this goes.
All right. He puts goggles on. He has not provided you with goggles. I am fairly certain that this will work. You won't be more than half a mile off target. And he pulls a lever, and you are airborne.
Oh, no. He didn't say which direction the half a mile might be.
Well, He knows the wind velocity in the area around the tower, but as you get further away, it's harder to judge. So you're dealing with a radius here.
Yeah, but my point is the radius describes a sphere, not a circle.
Well, here's the thing. The ability to break is not something that Fiddle Punch is dealing with. That's all Zeely. What?
Yeah,
and Zeely, I'm going to ask you to give me a dexterity save.
Dexterity save?
Yes.
I have a question.
I have an answer. Let's see.
Does Dimension Door cancel momentum?
I don't believe it does. However, you have spent, I would imagine, over the 10 years that you've had wings, you have spent a long time flying. So I'm going to argue that there's a pretty good chance that Zeely feels very comfortable airborne, and it's just a matter of knowing when to open your wings to start braking maneuvers.
Unfortunately, I only have a plus one to dex save, so...
Your target number for this is 10, because I'm banking on 10 years of experience flying.
That was a natural 20.
That's a natural 20. Right. Okay, so you make it look easy. Matter of fact, for any bystanders...
You do double damage with your dex save.
for anyone,
I don't want to do damage!
for anyone looking up as you fly overhead, they're just going to assume that you are doing so under your own power. And that sonic boom is totally your fault.
I mean, I have been known to cast thunder stuff.
Picture, if you will, we zoom in with a close-up, not an extreme close-up, but a close-up of Zeely's face as she's flying trebuchet-propelled through the air across Coombe Ridge Valley. And you just see speed lines going past her. She's achieved warp velocity. Some hatching appears. She goes to plaid.
Plaid.
It's a space ball.
Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now that it's not quite so urgent, in case anybody missed the chat, everybody gets 19 temporary hit points.
Yay.
Oh, I missed it entirely. I will put those.
Okay.
Including Fiddle Punch.
He appreciates 19, that, right? Because he hadn't tested the trebuchet to see if it was safe for use on kobold sorcerers. And in case of a catastrophic failure, he wanted a little bit of a buffer to deal with any fire damage that might incident. Okay. But Zeely, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, certainly, but I have this sense that you are reveling in this experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Zeely thinks that this is a great means of travel.
She's going to ask for a trebuchet to be installed in Meepo's farm, I'm sure. You visit a local castle, like, excuse me, good sir, I'm intending to travel. Do you have a trebuchet nearby? No, I'm not.
It's the only way to fly.
Yep.
All right. Well, as you approach Meepo's farm, there isn't much farm left. You aren't very close when you start to see the damage. There's a lot of smoke rising from the area. The barn is completely gone. The farmhouse is smoldering. Not currently on fire, but smoldering. There are char marks everywhere, and the farmhouse has caved in on itself. But with that incredibly high dexterity save, you can land wherever the heck you want to land.
I want to land... not right next to the farm, because, you know, immediate combat, maybe not entirely what I want to be doing right now.
Okay. You are still holding a fairly large mechanical beetle.
I set it down.
Okay. It runs
around. All right, beetle, do your thing.
As soon as you set it down, before you can finish that sentence, it begins running around in circles and etching glowing runes into the ground with mathematical precision, and the rest of the party, whom Fiddle Punch had ushered over to his arcane circle that is more mechanical and technology-based than Zeely-compatible magic-based, He ushered you over there, and that circle glows, and poof! You are now surrounded by living kobolds.
Hi.
Excellent.
Are they the right living kobolds?
Well, Marwise's head is on Gox's body, but that's okay because Gox's head is also on Gox's body.
Oh my.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Marwise's Gox's gambit. I haven't seen that successfully pulled off in years.
By the way, this is canon. However, Marwise's head is still attached to her body. She is upside down with her head propped on Gox's shoulder. Positioning was just a little bit off, but everyone's fine.
Okay.
And so, no one has an evil twin that has also appeared somewhere in the world.
I apologize.
You'll be able to tell because they have a goatee.
I apologize because this is something that I was looking for a gift to illustrate going to Plaid, and I ran across this, and I can't not post it because all of you know me, and as soon as you see it, you will know why I can't not post it.
I still appreciate that every week we have at least one moment, and yes, that is a wonderful GIF. Only one man in the universe would dare give me the raspberry.
They're jamming the radar.
Yes. Every week we have at least one moment where we have to pause and deal with something visual and copyright.
Yeah, well.
So that I could never actually include that imagery in any form that we rebroadcast. Alrighty. But yes, you are surrounded by living kobolds and the correct living kobolds.
Excellent.
Well, so the farm's not a good now that check.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Perception checks.
Perception check for who?
Everyone who's bothering to look around, which I imagine you all are at this point.
Yep. Gox has rolled a one. He's a little disoriented from traveling.
Also, I wouldn't be surprised if for a brief moment he wasn't entirely sure that Marwise's head was not attached to his body.
He might be kind of disturbed by that concept as well. You know?
Well, it's fitting because Marwise rolled a nat one too.
for a moment, they both thought that this was their life now.
Yeah.
I've got a 23.
Okay. And what was Ely's roll?
12.
Okay.
So, brown bear, what do I see?
Zili sees fire, and it's not comforting fire. It's the aftermath of a non-responsible pyromaniac. An irresponsible.
I think it might be a little late for the decanter.
Yes. It is quite late. It doesn't look like the short rest. If you had eschewed the short rest and come immediately... Zili, with your proficiency in dealing with fire-based attacks and how long things take to burn, you don't think if you had come here immediately instead of doing a short rest that you would have been able to help.
Can I interest you in propane or propane accessories?
Daldane, with your incredibly high roll, she sees an arm sticking out from under the farmhouse rubble.
Uh-oh.
It is a kobold.
Well, that's no good. I'm going to go see if I can... First, I'm going to go see if it's attached to anything.
There is a kobold that's attached to, yes.
Okay, I'm going to pull the kobold out.
Okay, give me a strength check.
14.
Okay. You are able to dislodge a lot of the rubble because charcoal is a lot lighter than the timber that it is made out of.
Yeah. Gox, give me a hand.
Okay, I come over and I see what you're doing and I try to move things off the kobold.
Okay.
Marwise goes, what?
Is the kobold still alive?
I can't tell yet.
I will tell you after the strength check from Gox.
Oh, okay. I got a 16 on the die and strength is plus something. Plus 8, I guess.
Okay. Gox is a swobald, not a kobold.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, Gox comes over and just grabs hold of the wrist and lifts straight up, and you are holding a kobold corpse.
Oh no. We were too late.
Do we know who it is?
Yeah, is it someone we recognize?
Well, they're covered in soot, but it looks like one of the new arrivals that came in after you.
Prestidigitation. I'm going to clean off the soot.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely one of the ones that came in after the momentous battle with Malathomax 10 years ago.
I need strength. I need... Hang on.
Marwise?
Yes?
Can you fix?
He's already dead, and I don't have...
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm asking you and not Daldane.
I don't have the diamonds needed to raise the dead.
I use polymorph to turn myself into a giant ape.
Okay. There is certainly more rubble, and you remember the clan being fairly large. Large enough to have more than one location, actually. So.
Yep, I'm going to start clearing debris.
Okay. You find many more bodies. And that's just in the rubble that was part of the house. The house also had a basement, and from the basement it went down further into the cobalt tunnels. Mm-hmm. And
I'm clearing a path toward that staircase.
Okay. I'm not going to require an insight check for this. I will say that as you are clearing things out, you begin to piece together a bit of a story. The ones higher up didn't know what hit them. But as you go down further, you find weapons that have been drawn, spell components that were out. So it does seem like there was a fight that was attempted. The strongest of them stayed behind to buy time for the rest of them to get into the tunnels.
Wow.
Tess, who perhaps was not the most charismatic of leaders, is one of the ones you find. When you get to the tunnels...
No.
Do I fit in the tunnels?
There is a cave-in partway down, and that is something that you know because this was your home.
Mm-hmm.
Kobolds are very good at traps and stealing off things.
We've done this ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Against other things, that's right.
There was a cave-in that is just at the right spot that you're fairly certain that...
It was done on purpose.
It was done on purpose to cover their escape.
Good for them.
There are two kobolds in front of the cave-in who it looks like they stayed on that side, again, to buy time. They're charcoal.
Ooh.
Mm.
And the walls of this tunnel are melted from the heat. Now, while they're charcoal, they are still posed like they were both in mid-cast of spells. Siv, who you may remember was the first of the kobolds in the clan to decide when you were living under the temple to declare themselves to be a cleric of Bahamut.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Right next to them is Taklak, who had been the previous cleric of Gritolmek.
Mm. They stayed to protect the weak.
Zaylee, bring Tunnel down. My intelligence is 7. I can't talk good.
Oh, currently an ape.
I will say that it is canon, according to Wizards of the Coast, that when you shapeshift, it doesn't change your mental attributes. So you are just as...
Yeah, but I gotta learn to work these vocal cords.
Well, you can try calling someone on your phone. I'm just glad that the first phone that I've heard in one of these is not mine. Which, I am that...
Sorry,
It's kind of amazing that it's not actually Jen's either.
Yeah, everyone involved in this has their phone either muted or off or, something or other. I have missed phone calls from my mom because I've forgotten to unmute my phone after one of these, but never mind about that.
Oh, I just don't unmute my phone at this point.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I'll sometimes put my phone's ringer back on during the weekends, but that's about it, and only sometimes.
Actually, Gox, mm-hmm. Help me drag bodies down here.
Okay. And I start doing that.
Yeah.
I hate to interject in this time of morning, but we should probably spend our efforts trying to track down who did this and keep them from doing this to the other kobold openings and lairs.
Mourning? I'm not mourning. I'm angry.
Give me another.
How dare they do this to me again?
That's some good reverb.
I usually have to edit in reverb like that.
Oh, perception checks. Okay. I've got an 18, and perception is +5.
I keep forgetting that with socks gone, Gox is the highest passive perception.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, well, comes from battle.
And Sidekick has taken the night off.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
There we go.
Got a 12.
11, 16, so we're doing fives here.
Okay.
11, 16, 21.
Okay, so I'm going to say that Marwise definitely notices this first. I'm going to flavor this by saying that most of you start heading up to bring bodies down.
Mm-hmm.
And Marwise, well, let's face it, only one of you is a strength-based character.
Right.
But it looks like you were preparing to do some type of burial ceremony, so that was something that Marwise was staying behind to facilitate. And with people moving away, but Marwise not, Marwise hears something, and when Marwise notices, Gox picks up on it almost immediately afterwards, breathing.
I rush toward the sound of the breathing and say, guys, someone's still alive down here.
It's under the rubble.
I start digging.
Mold Earth!
Oh, that's even better. Do that, yeah.
Okay, so Zeely casts Mold Earth, and the cave-in just moves to either side. The tunnel is now slightly more narrow than it was before, but you've got a straight run back, and you find Ada, Mata, and Peya. Ada and Peya.
Are they conscious?
Ada and Peya are dead. They didn't make it.
Oh, no.
Mata's
no, no.
It's a bit of a toss-up as to whether they died from the cave-in or the fire, because they're showing evidence of both.
I'm sorry.
Marwise, can you help this one?
I'm sorry.
If she's still here, she's probably stable, but yeah, I'll go ahead and throw a healing spell. So, 9 points of health restored.
Okay. And congratulations. Mata is stabilized. She opens her eyes and sort of just looks at you a little unfocused and just says, uncanny dodge.
Seeley's going to hug the remaining of three siblings.
Okay. At this point, I'm going to give you some background information that you gather both from Fiddle Punch and his interactions with Lord Idris and from Mata. So the 20 planned their retaliatory strikes wherever they thought you would be or might be. The group that went to Fiddle Punch's tower, you already know how that ends. There were some forces sent to Serain, the formerly Flying City. Those forces did not take into account that that city had a long history of fighting dragons, including an ancient green dragon that had decided to become a god.
Mm-hmm.
So that attack was sent packing very, very fast. It was a rout. There were a lot of casualties on the attacker's side. It was not a tie. It did not go to the attacker, in part because a certain gnomish bard named Galen Kaldor had shown them how to make armored dirigibles. So that went very well. The town of Krumridge was also attacked. They also managed to fend it off. They also had a run-in with the same ancient green dragon, so they'd added some additional fortifications against airborne assault. Now, agents of the 20 had also attacked on the ground of very similar power dynamics to the ones that you'd fought, but they were driven back by Lord Idris and his daughter. Both of them are very powerful spellcasters. Idris is a wizard, and his daughter, Ellie, is a sorceress. Or sorcerer, and friend of Meepo. And they made short work of that attack once they intervened. Dudra, which I had to check my notes because we kept not referring to it by name, but that's the town that the Dragonborn live in. They did get attacked by Deucalion. Fennec Sr., Varn, and Gallic were able to stall for time long enough for reinforcements to arrive from the temple. And while there were injuries, wouldn't you know it, there were heals available on site, and an undead agent of Tiamat versus an army of Dragonborn paladins. I don't think I need to go into the details for that particular fight and what the result might be.
Especially paladins of Bahamut.
Yes. When they send word back, they don't go into details either, only that the incursion has been dealt with.
Hmm.
Now, what happened here?
Sigh of relief.
I've already told you most of what's in my notes for what happened here. And I'll admit, I was tearing up while I was writing this.
Aww.
But Mata does remember something that you wouldn't have been able to know just from looking at the damage. It was just one dragon. Yeah, just one dragon. It was incredibly large. It was a red.
No.
And it was laughing. most of the time during the attack. It was a very short attack, but it was laughing for all of it. They heard the laugh before the first breath weapon was released. And when it wasn't laughing, it was just calling out for its, quote, greatest servant, unquote.
No!
Uh-oh.
I'm going to kill them! I'm going to tear that monster of a dragon apart with my teeth if I have to!
Alright, that's our next target then.
Yes. In the meantime, we have a burial to perform.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a burial to perform.
So, we haven't been recording for a full hour yet, but I think this is probably a great point to take a 5-minute breather.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back after we decompress.
Do whatever.
Pull the lever, Kronk!
Pull the lever! I think of that every time I say the word lever, or I see a lever, and I play Minecraft, so I see levers a lot.
Oh no.
You should actually recreate that. Have a place with two levers where one opens a secret door, the other a trap door down into a shark pit. I'm sure with redstone you could pull it off.
It would be deceptively easy to do, yes. So, you have had a long rest over the break, and you have reconvened. Your long rest was in Coomeridge Keep itself. You were guests of Lord Idris. He is incredibly calm, but the kind of calm that... Cindy, I'm going to ask you to repeat what you said over the break, because it was so spot on.
A kind of calmness that contains a storm behind its eyes?
Yes, that. He is furious because these were multiple attacks against Coomeridge. So far as he's concerned, unprovoked attacks. If they had just gone after you, he would be harder pressed to give his full support in this case. But that's not something he has to worry about hemming and hawing over at this point, because there were casualties. So he's angry. And he's not just talking about kobolds, although that is incredibly tragic. You have reconvened inside Findlepunch's tower because he was the one doing the research.
During the long rest, feel free to tell me if this was unsuccessful, but if there was a quiet moment, I might have asked if there was a reliquary I could borrow for one of my spells.
Does the reliquary have to be for your deity or for your specific religion?
It does not, but... Yeah. Otherwise wouldn't be comfortable with an evil deity, but you know, if she learns history to build bridges, so as long as it's a deity she could gel with, she'd be okay with it.
Well, the 20 are ancient beyond recorded history, and one of them was hit by a chain lightning and rendered into just a pile of bones. So if you want to take part of a finger and shove it in a glass case...
I'm not sure that's the best idea for a holy aura.
The one that was turned into a pile of bones was, in fact, the priest of the group. That was the one that cast
Guardian of Faith.
Guardian of Faith, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not using a follower of Tiamat for this, but I might ask anyone with means or a pile of junk if it's possible, because I really want to be able to use that spell.
Okay. Well, they don't have one available for you right at this moment, unfortunately, but they'll keep an eye out.
Very well, thank you.
Okay. The DM kind of wishes that it would make sense plot-wise for them to say, oh, yeah, this whole thing, we've had this laying around. We don't really need it. I was using it as a doorstop.
Yeah.
I know it's a big ask, but
yeah,
it's a nice spell, so worth trying.
Mm-hmm. You've gathered around a circular table that is... uncharacteristically clean for Fiddlepunch's tower. It's not that his tower gets dusty, he has found ways to automate the cleaning in that regard. But usually there's like research notes and books propped open to various pages all over the place. This table has had the research material repositioned, possibly even put away, which is weird. But in any case, Fiddlepunch looks around the room and says, I don't suppose any of you knows how to control water.
What do you need?
He takes out a bowl of water and he says, I just need a sphere hovering above this bowl.
Shape water. Why?
Okay, so you've got a sphere hovering above the bowl and says, all right, so I know you're not from here, but how much do you know about the history of Circulus?
There was this ancient empire.
No, before that.
There wasn't much history known before that because they broke everything, but then we found some stuff from before then, and it involved altars to Tiamat.
Mm-hmm. And before that, we know just a little bit. Circulus now, the world we're on now, is not the way it was when it formed. It might have had other continents. It might have had no continents. We don't know. But eons ago, something big, and he holds up a tiny little ball bearing,
mm-hmm.
which the sphere of water is significantly bigger than this ball bearing. But still, something big hit Circulus, like this. And he tosses the ball bearing into the sphere, and it goes through. And you get the characteristic splash on one end that goes out in a circle. And it just freezes like that a little bit because Zili's still concentrating on the spell. And he says, well, granted, everything settled down after a while. But as you see from the circle on this side, it's roughly shaped similar to the continent as it is now. I mean, there's been erosion, there's been volcanoes and stuff, but it's a giant circle with a hole in the middle. The whole continent of Circulus is, in fact, an impact crater.
Are you going about to tell us what impacted?
An asteroid, maybe? A moon? We don't know. But that's not the relevant part. And he walks around the table to the other side of the sphere, to the exit point of where the ball bearing went through, and the water's coming out in that direction. For all this time, we lost Ellie. Oh, Discord's freaking
out. She said BRB, it's just, yeah. I think she's rebooting Discord.
I like how this was all done behind the scenes, so you can stay quiet about it, but no, I paused and brought attention to it.
Yes, that's okay. That's what editing is for later.
If I choose to edit it.
If you choose to. Mm-hmm.
I constantly hear people in podcasts say, oh, don't worry, we'll cut this part out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear I'm the editor, and I'm like, well, thanks.
I hear it after it's been edited.
I was getting
visual lag, like people's rings were lighting up and stuff was showing up in chat like 2 minutes after it was typed.
That's not right.
Or 2 minutes after they talked, so I've rebooted and everything's fine.
Okay.
Well, not rebooted, but reloaded.
You must have a flash-based hard drive.
I do, in fact, have an SSD for a hard drive.
My laptop, which has an SSD hard drive and is running a version of Linux, can boot as fast as you restarted Discord. This computer, that's an entirely different can of worms, even though it is an SSD. But never mind about that. So he walks around and points at the exit wound, where there is another variation in what was, until he threw this ball bearing, a perfect sphere. Now, those of us who researched this kind of thing just assumed that it was only an entrance wound. There was no exit wound to the planet. But if something hit hard enough, you can see there was the possibility that some theorized there might be another continent on the other side. Now, no expedition to head over there ever returned, or so we thought. And he pulls out a scroll case and he sets it down and says, this was on the one attacker of this tower that wasn't turned into a pile of bones or charred to ash. There might have been more information on them, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And inside of it was this, and he pulls out a map of the world. And it's arranged similar to how you might see a map of the Earth. Obviously, the continents look different, but every map of Circulus you've seen up until now was just one hemisphere, because the entire continent is mostly in the southern half of one side of the planet. And that's what everyone assumed existed for the world. This shows all of it. And there's a roughly circular continent that, based on the map, it looks like there's a giant mountain in the middle of it on the other side of the world.
Oh.
Huh. That's kind of unexpected.
Well, there's a few academics who are punching the air right now, but never mind about that.
I knew it. I knew it. I'm gonna get published. I knew it.
Do you think the 20 or Tiamat or anything relating to them is
the mountain
are on that other continent?
He pulls out a stack of paper that was also in the map case and sets it down and says, yeah.
I look at the paper.
Okay.
Most
of it is incredibly boring, even to someone who burns with the fiery rage of vengeance. I mean, there's only so much paperwork that you can go through. But the paperwork is all about troop movements. And as you are quickly going through, you catch keywords. Give me an insight check so I know which words to tell you.
One moment, let me check what my insight is. It's plus one. 15.
Okay. So the gist of what you're getting, and you know full well that you're not getting the whole picture with this. This is the correspondence that was sent to this particular member of the 20 specifically. And you don't know how high up or down he ranked. Not incredibly high, because they worship Tiamat, so the main ringleaders would be dragons, certainly. But, with that said, high enough that he was getting this correspondence. This continent has pretty much been taken over by the followers of Tiamat. There might be a few holdouts. They're actively looking to see if they've gotten everyone. But so far as they know, they own the continent. And
not for long.
And they are bringing in dragons from other worlds.
Well, it looks like we got an entire continent to liberate.
We're going to need an army.
Are they just bringing in the dragons? Or are the dragons bringing their own servants?
Well, there are mentions of troops. I can tell you this with a roll of 15. There are mentions of troops, and the wording that's used makes you assume that they're not actually dragons. But they don't go over, oh, and by the way, this battalion, yes, we definitely brought them from Toril. And this group over here, we brought that. No. They may actually be converts from the main continent of Circulus that were transported over. They might be people who were residents of that continent originally, who decided to side with the winning team through one reason or another. You're not going to get that information. You're not going to get the entire backstory of the continent in some correspondence about troop movements.
All right.
I just needed to know that they weren't necessarily just bringing through dragons.
Well, they have significantly brought over a bunch of dragons, some of which you've already encountered, some of which you've already dealt with.
Yep.
Yes. With that said, there's also multiple mentions of mining operations. A lot of mining.
Fine.
Why are they mining?
It doesn't necessarily say in this documentation. It's talking about mining camps and mining locations, but it's not going into those details. That would probably be in a separate set of documents that they wouldn't be giving to a paladin or Tiamat.
Well, if you're trying to supply an army, you need raw materials.
Oh, okay. So see, they have an army. We're going to need an army.
Lord Idris is standing there and goes, hi, I'm right here.
Gox is slow, he can't help it. You know?
I have a different theory about what they're mining for. Okay. If I were bringing a whole bunch of dragons from off-world, and I had a really big mining operation, I'd be looking for ways to put armor on the dragons, and I'd be looking for diamonds to resurrect them.
Oh.
Dul'Dane's mind's eye just pictures an army of death wings flying through the air.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Pain. Agony.
What if Napoleon had a B-52?
Then
there aren't enough there aren't enough diamonds on this entire planet
to resurrect the number of dragons that Zeely's going to kill.
That was the implication I was making, yes.
So, in the very awkward silence that occurs after Zeely makes this proclamation, Lord Idris clears his throat and says, yes, well, it wouldn't be the first time the kingdoms of Circulus banded together and formed an army to go after a dragon or two. I can get the gang back together, as it were. It's going to take some time, though. I imagine more time than young Zeely here is willing to wait. So it's quite possible...
We'll try and find a boat.
...that you're not going to need a boat.
Okay.
And he looks over at Fiddle Punch as he says this, and Fiddle Punch goes, I haven't actually tested it, you know. You say that about most of your inventions. You said that about the trebuchet earlier.
How big is the new trebuchet?
Not big enough for what I'm thinking of. Remember, 10 years ago, the tower was leveled. This whole structure was rebuilt by Fiddle Punch here. Fiddle Punch, who has a bit of an obsession with space.
True.
Yes. So you know about that. Okay. Well, there is a chance that hypothetically I might have turned the entire tower into a vehicle that can go outside of the atmospheric conditions of this planet and allow us to travel very fast around the world and then land in a controlled burn on another portion of the planet with very little effort before even a long rest goes by. This might have occurred.
So what you're telling us is that you have a rocket.
In a manner of speaking, it doesn't actually get propelled exactly the same way a rocket does.
And he starts to go into the intricacies of this using parameters and mathematical concepts that no one in this room, and I'm including the level 20 wizard, has any idea what he's talking about.
I'm starting to feel like that time I tried to explain, well, all sorts of things to Gox.
I'm going to sidle over to Zeely. Hey, remember when we fought Marathomax?
Yes.
And this is... I can't think of them any other way now because of the song that I wrote about them. Remember how Marathomax had the gems to change the world?
Yes.
What happened to those?
They're still stuck in place inside Marathomax's mountain. Something she did to those gems, well, they're not really gems, but I'm using your vocabulary, the planar foci. They're locked in place. None of us that is researching it has been able to figure out how that was done or how to reverse it. So they're just there.
Okay. So we can't use them to...
Oh, no, we can teleport. Totally use them. If you want to go to another world, so provided we have the coordinates, we can go there.
Oh. Well, now, wouldn't that be interesting?
Coming back is a bit of another story.
Yes, well, aren't you interested in space, Fiddle Punch?
Very much so. That is why I turned the tower into a transatmospheric retro-rocket descent in safety vehicle.
What?
Transatmospheric retro-rocket descent in safety. The whole thing is not a rocket, but it does use rockets for the descent portion to slow us down.
I don't believe you!
No, I totally did it. Took me years of engineering.
I need something to drink.
What?
Ellie realized the in-joke that I did. Transatmospheric retro... rocket descent in safety. TARDIS.
Okay.
I was wondering, as I wrote up this joke, I was wondering exactly how long it would be before Ellie got it. Because I assure you, I assumed Ellie would be the first person to get it. I'm not putting any of you down.
No, I haven't watched much of that, so it would have gone right by.
But I just knew Ellie would get it first.
Yeah.
I was almost there. I had trouble keeping up with the letters, so I somehow got two R's instead of an R and a D.
I also said it very fast, on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The DM is amused with his own joke. It almost but doesn't quite make up for the fact that he killed off almost an entire group of kobolds.
Yeah.
All right. So Fiddle Punch is willing to test his tower out to establish, shall we say, a beachhead on the other continent. And considering that the tower itself has more than one kind of teleportation circle in it, from there, it's just a matter of bringing people over as they get ready.
Right. Let's do it then.
All right.
Good Lord.
Ellie, I'm just going to say that I'm sorry that I'm not sorry.
Oh. Oh, you know me too well. All right. Let's rock the Casbah.
Okay.
So, I know. Sharif won't like it.
When you make the DM laugh, you do get inspiration, but I have a feeling Daldane still has it.
Daldane still has it.
Yes.
I didn't Zili need to reroll anything during that combat.
Yeah. Zili spent her inspiration last week. I know that, but I think she's the only one.
Okay. Right. Ox doesn't have any. He usually doesn't, so.
Okay.
I should give Gox my inspiration. I give Gox Bardic inspiration all the time, though.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
And that was very useful last week, in fact.
It's true.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. One of the hits was scored because of that. Rolled with advantage and still needed the Bardic inspiration, so that was useful. Okay, so the flight deck, as it were, it is on the floor directly below the floor with the telescope on it.
Understandably.
It is circular because it's built inside a circular tower, so of course it's circular. It makes total sense. And it's not just because the flight deck on the TARDIS is also circular. That's just a total coincidence.
This is possibly a silly question.
I just named a tower after the TARDIS from Doctor Who. I'm okay with silly questions.
Well, that's why this is a silly question. Does Fiddle Punch need to be in direct control of the tower at all times?
Currently, yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to make it bigger on the inside anyway.
Please don't. I have too many bags of holding in storage.
Oh, no. This is fine. Don't worry about it. I just need 50 square feet of wall.
Can it be a curved surface?
Yep.
Okay, two floors down.
Excellent. I go down and I cast the Dazzling Dwelling.
Although I haven't tested this and I don't know if the Dazzling Dwelling will actually move with the tower or will just slice a hole through all the floors underneath.
Trust me. I've tested it. It'll stay with the wall.
When did you test that?
The only testing that I'm aware of that took place was in the swamp. When it was cast on the side of the settlement mound that the kobolds made.
Oh, right.
And that went away, but the doorway to the Dazzling Dwelling remained. It did not, in fact, move with the surface it was cast on.
Oh, I thought it did.
No, it did not. Otherwise, you would have had an issue with everyone who was hiding inside.
In that case, I'm going to do the opposite of what I just said I was going to do.
which, that's not too much of a retcon because Fiddle Punch would have called this out on your way down the stairs.
Yeah.
That would have made it a very short flight.
I uncast the Dazzling Dwelling.
All hands on board were lost.
Oh, no.
Do-do-do.
There was a catastrophic failure because that left a significant portion of the tower that was no longer airtight.
Oh, no.
And there were some fuel tanks that were affected as well.
I cast Prestidigitation and make a color on the wall because that's... okay. I cast Prestidigitation multiple times to make a false doorway on the wall so it looks like it's bigger on the inside.
Okay.
Like every kid drawing that shows perspective where they put a railroad track down, going to a very specific vanishing point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Chicka 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 chicka. Choo 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 choo.
I think we've got a theme going on here from before the recording started.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. I'm here for this content. Okay. With that said, Fiddle Punch goes around the control panel he has set up, and he presses a bunch of keys on a typewriter and moves a few levers, and he says, okay, I think I have this planned out. Using the map, assuming the map is accurate, I've got some trajectories down. Managed to cut a deal with Lord Idris. He's going to cast a very high-level invisibility spell on the tower. It won't last forever, but it will allow us to arrive theoretically unnoticed. It depends on how good they are at scrying and whether or not they're looking for us.
Well, their scrying wasn't able to figure out exactly where we were, just places we visit often.
Yes, but to be fair, we're on the other side of the planet from them. This is very soon not going to be the case.
Fair.
True.
Yes.
We'll burn that bridge when we come to it.
I do have a method of rapid escape. We do have the teleportation circles downstairs, so if we have to abandon ship, it's only a staircase away. I'd prefer not to throw out my tower, but I'd also prefer not throw out my life, so I know which call I'm going to make if the need arises.
Tomorrow, invisibility wears off, tomorrow.
And we better hurry, because that's only a day away. All right. So, everyone should probably hold on to something. And, Zili, would you do the honors and pull that lever over there?
You mean this particular one?
No, not that lever. The other lever. The other one.
Okay, good.
The one that doesn't have the sign on it that says, only pull this if all hope is lost. Don't pull that one. We have not lost all hope yet.
All right.
We have two or three more episodes.
I'm going to pull the correct lever and not the abandon all hope one.
Okay. No trapdoor opens beneath you. There is no pit filled with alligators. There is the sound of a key running against a taut piece of piano wire.
Oh, not again. He kicks a console. That sound goes away. Instead, you hear what amounts to a bit more of a controlled explosion.
I'm okay with Daldane trying to whistle this, but you experience very high G's at this point. Everyone, give me a constitution save.
That bounced off of something, and that one did not bounce off of something. Okay, I got a 13, and constitution is plus 7.
Okay, so Gox experiences this ride standing up.
Mm-hmm. It didn't occur to him not to, you know.
Yeah, he was told to hold on to something, but usually when someone tells
he's holding on to his battle axe and thought that was okay, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? He's fine.
He's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's not smart enough to realize that anything would have changed, so he's fine.
looking at some numbers here, it looks like Marwise got a 4.
Yes.
So Marwise did grab hold of something, but that something was not load-bearing. Specifically, it did not bear the load of a kobold cleric. It might have been supposed to. It might not have been bolted on quite 100% accurately.
It might have been something the props department stuck on at the last second.
It might have been. Apparently, when Matt Smith was the doctor during every special effects thing where they sent off pyrotechnics and stuff, they would tell him, now, don't go and swing on these things because like they're not designed for you to do that, and we don't want you to hurt yourself because you're our star. And he would always swing on them. I am rolling damage, by the way.
Oh, no.
So the floor is with Marwise.
Yeah, and Marwise is doing her best to become one with the floor. She takes 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh.
And has a strong inclination to just stay there.
Fortunately, that leaves her with 9 temporary hit points.
Yeah, some people wear crash chutes, pun intended, just because puns are always intended from me, even if I didn't intend them originally.
Mm-hmm.
But the kobolds just bulk up on temporary hit points and move on. It's a shame that Daldane didn't first cast Mass Polymorph to just give everyone a huge reservoir of temporary hit points from their polymorph forms.
Marwise will live. She'll finally know what it's like to be a pancake, but she'll live.
Well, the good news is you're kind of in a crash couch now because the floor is dented in a little bit around your body. And that crick you had in your back from 2 days ago is gone.
The unfortunate thing is, this happens to Marwise every time we get in a high-speed vehicle. We got in that train, and Marwise got pancaked when it stopped. We get in a rocket, and Marwise gets pancaked when it takes off.
And looking at the rest of these rolls, everyone 27. Else is also fine. Yes, a 27 for Zeely, not a nat 20. No, that went to Daldane. So, Gox and Zeely and Daldane are just standing there like characters in a Doctor Who episode right at the end where they're going off to the next adventure where they're all looking up to see what's happening next as the camera pans away past all of the worrying stuff. And meanwhile, over there, Daldane 5 feet away, Marwise is just... Daldane is what?
Daldane is waving her hat like King Kong at the end of Doctor Strangelove. Yeehaw!
Only this is going up, not down.
Yeah.
There's still a very large explosion, though.
Zeely is just too mad to care about G-forces right now.
That's a fair cop.
Yeah. She'll let gravity affect her when she's ready, dagnabbit. She didn't give it permission. And on that thought, gravity goes away.
So there are three of us who had no problem with the increased gravity. Two of them have wings, and one of them is pretty sure this is all just a special effect.
Wait, two of them have wings?
I thought Gox did.
Not always. It appears in battle sometimes, but he doesn't know who has them because no one ever told him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And when they appear, it's always when Gox is doing radiant damage.
Mm-hmm.
And not against every opponent, only in
certain
very
lines.
Rare cases. Matter of fact, it's barely happened over the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time it happened,
Gox the
was literally fighting a dragon god.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah, you know, like I said, no one ever said, hey, Gox, what were those wings for? So he has no idea.
Yeah. All right. So you are now in free fall. So, Marwise, you are no longer pinned to the floor. You may wish you were. I don't know how you feel about being weightless. Matter of fact, everyone give me another con save.
Okay.
If possible, I'm going to use my boots of flying to try to find somewhere, something else to grab onto.
Okay.
I've rolled an 18 and con is plus 7.
Okay.
Gox is too heavy to be weightless, apparently.
Gox is able to hold his bacon.
Oh, no!
That's a nat 1 for Marwise.
Oh, no.
So, are
Does Marwise crash into Zeely?
Oh, no, this is much worse.
Oh, no.
So, there is a plane that you can actually book a flight on. They do charter flights, but they're primarily used for research for NASA.
The Vomit Comet.
This is going.
Yes, the Vomit Comet.
Oh, no.
The plane that goes up really high and then goes almost straight down. It goes in a parabolic curve to get brief moments of weightlessness for various research purposes and training.
And it does this again and again, like 10 times.
Yes. Weightlessness has a certain effect on some individuals where you learn exactly what it's like to vomit in zero G. Spoiler has double meanings. The word spoiler has more than one meaning, and in this case, it's spoiled. It's still bad.
Yes.
So, Marwise, you're going to have to do another roll for me. Give me a dexterity save to see if you pull out the paper bag that was pointed out to you before the launch. That's a 9. I'm so sorry.
So that's not just vomit on the Vomit Comet. That's vomit on the cyclotron.
Vomit in a zero G environment surrounded by technology that you don't quite understand. And in zero G, an object in motion tends to stay in motion until it is enacted upon about by an outside force. Like, say, the
prestidigitation.
Yes.
Good plan.
Yes, panicked prestidigitation from the bard.
Okay, Zeely,
we're cleaning the air.
Give me a dexterity check to see if you can do this fast enough.
dexterity check. Actually, it doesn't matter. I'm not proficient in dex saves.
Yeah. Imagine if you will, it's like you're rolling for initiative. Well, that's a 19 plus one. So, yes, you are able to prestidigitate the vomit. I appreciate how most of the die rolls, all of the die rolls that have been, not all of them, most of the die rolls that have been taking place at this point have all been your reactions to this flight. And the most dangerous part of the evening was saved with a well-cast prestidigitation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm going to go ahead and cast Bear's Endurance on Marwise. And so you get 7 more temporary hit points, and you have advantage on constitution checks.
Nice.
Yeah, you might need that, because what goes up is going to come down. So looking at the other rolls, it looks like Daldane got a 16, so you're fine, and Zeely got a 12. You are queasy, but you'll be darned if you throw up on this. You're too angry to be queasy.
And I've had stage shows worse than this. I mean, that show where they turned me upside down, where I was playing the lute and they had fireworks underneath me, that was cool, but I mean, not a whole lot different here.
Most of your I Totally Know Doll ding cards fell out of your pocket during that show, though, and they all went up in flames.
It's true. I did have to go back to the card vendor and get another set of cards for that.
Yeah, but they do give you a bulk discount, which is nice.
It's true. I buy 500 or more and I get one gold piece off.
And when you consider they're small pieces of paper that have "Hi, I Totally Know Daldane" printed on them and nothing else, one gold piece will buy you a lot of those.
Yeah, but when you're buying 1,000 and then you get turned upside down and 990 of them fall out of your pockets?
At some point, I'm going to sit down and do the math to find out how many of those you can put in a bag of holding. Tonight is not that. Well, in the original campaign, the ranger that Chris played, Vex, he filled his bag of holding. It was mostly full of arrows. He bought out the local Fletcher. So it was like all arrows.
Mm-hmm.
For most
all arrows,
it.
All but, the time.
But the remaining
W-A-R-R-W.
The remaining space was all filled with Werther's originals that were given to him by Lord Idris's dad.
Yep.
Because he was a grandfather. So, of course, he had Werther's originals available.
W-O-R-R-A would have been even funnier.
The DM doesn't get the reference right now.
Arrow backwards.
Oh, okay.
I palindrome I. Okay, moving on. My sentiments exactly.
You right. Son of a bleep blop.
Thank you for not losing inspiration. Okay. So you're witless for a while, and Fiddle Punch goes over to a hatch and slides a panel aside, and there's this glass window that's fairly thick, and he just looks out.
Bum, bum, bum.
Off in the distance, you see a giant black monolith rising up. No, you don't. you do, however, see the continent that you recognize as Circulus, and there's clouds everywhere. It's a planet that's mostly water, so there's tons of clouds. But through the clouds, you can see the continent of Circulus, the giant, almost complete circle.
I can see my house from here.
No, you can't.
I totally can. It's right down there on Circulus.
You're
Daldane, isn't your
side.
House wherever you cast it?
Look.
Technically, it hasn't been 24 hours since you cast it in the Dragonborn city.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah,
there it is. So
it's probably a very good thing that you didn't cast it, because there'd be a bunch of kobolds who would just be rapidly ejected.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know if you can have more than one of those at a time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Man, it's really good they have all this bacon here. Press the spin cycle button again. This thing's fun. Whee!
All of a sudden.
Okay, fine, Fiddle Punch. With sufficient resolution, I could see my house from here.
You know, the telescope's one floor up, or
sideways. Direction's kind of weird when you're in orbit. But we could see your house from here if you wanted.
Nah, it's okay. I was just being funny.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was a little distracted. And he just stands there, well, floats there. You are in zero G as the planet rotates underneath you. And the continent goes out of view and is completely out of view. What's this?
I actually have a very good reason to use the telescope. I'm going to go up and use the telescope and see exactly how close I can, how much resolution I can get.
You're not going to be able to read a "Hi, I totally know Daldane" card from orbit. But you tell me what you want to see, and I'll tell you the difficulty check you have to make.
I want to be able to see things the size of dinosaurs.
Oh, where? No.
Anywhere.
Oh, no.
Okay. You do have Philip helping you out. As long as what?
As long as they're the size of dinosaurs. I don't care about anything smaller than that.
Okay. You don't
have to
roll.
Some dinosaurs are rather tiny.
You don't have to roll a nat 20 for this, but you do need to roll a 20 or higher.
Okay. What am I rolling? Can it be investigation?
It's perception.
Can it be investigation?
The DM giveth and taketh away. And in this case, I'm mostly taking away.
Well, you're giving things to 21.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
You can totally see a house from here.
All right.
It's just not yours.
Okay. The joke is that polymorph lets me turn people into things that I've seen.
Oh, I see what you're planning. So I've got bad news and good news. The bad news is the way the planet is rotating underneath you, the Orc lands where all the dinosaurs on this planet tend to live, rotated out of view very quickly.
Yeah. The good news is I can turn people into houses.
No, well, you did fight house-sized mimics.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, but they're not considered beasts.
They're not beasts.
Yeah, you can only polymorph things into beasts. Well, the good news is, at the end of season one, you spent most of that time running around the Orc lands, which is a land filled with dinosaurs.
It's true.
So you already have a considerable number of dinosaurs in your repertoire should you choose to use them.
Okay. Sorry, I'm aware that I'm comedy option the character, so...
It's fine. Okay. However, since you're at the telescope and looking around, you are the first to see the new continent come into view.
Hey, check it out. Land ho!
I hope not. We're in orbit.
Well, okay. Land in the telescope ho!
Oh, that was quick.
Is there a firebolt up here?
What?
A what?
Firebolt up here with us.
No, I planned the orbit so we wouldn't run into it.
Oh, good.
Oh. Oh, good callback.
Oh, I got it now.
I'm just glad to be here for this moment where people realize one at a time what the joke was. I appreciate it. I appreciate it greatly. All right. So as the continent comes into view, it is significantly smaller in diameter than the Circulus continent is. But rather than having a big, rather than being donut shaped with a lot of water in the middle, it's got like lakes and rivers that you can see from space, but it has a giant mountain in the middle of it. The mountain appears to be smaller than it once was. There is what looks to be a gigantic ridgeline on one side of it that, based on Fiddlepunch's demonstration earlier with the sphere of water, it's possible that that was part of the mountain originally, and from its own weight, once everything cooled, it snapped off and fell over. As the central mountain and the ridgeline catch the sunlight as the world turns, and soap operas are played throughout the world. Thank you, I'm here all week. It almost seems to glitter. It is incredibly shiny. That's something you don't see every day.
Presumably those who live there do.
Well, yes, but you, which would be collectively everyone who was listening to me saying this, don't.
And meanwhile, everyone who was expecting someone to get the joke, specifically Fiddle Punch, just sort of puts their head in their hands and sighs heavily.
All right. Well, I think we've been in orbit, unfortunately, long enough. I could do this all day, but we're probably on a timetable because we're only going to be invisible for so long. So remember before when I said to hold on to something?
Yeah.
Hold on to something in a different direction.
Okay. Gox holds on to his battle axe and turns the other way. She's a different direction.
You know what? That's close enough for government work. Pull the lever, Zeely. Or push it, because you pulled it last time.
Zeely pushes the lever after checking to see that it is, in fact, still the correct one.
Okay.
Wrong lever!
So, you know what's coming. And it's a constitution save.
Okay. That hit something. Let me fix it.
Nat 20 for a 29.
I've got a 14 plus 7.
Okay, so Zeely's making this look easy. Rolling with advantage, we still have an 8 from Marwise.
That's not good.
Marwise should just hold on to Gox.
When I rolled damage... Last time, I was rolling 2d6, and I got a 6 and a 4, so 10 points of damage. I just rolled damage again. I rolled a 6 and a 4.
Oh, no.
I still have 6 temporary hit points.
How many temporary hit points were you given?
19.
So you actually have lost one actual hit point.
Well, then...
No. Because I got
cast... Yes.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Cast something else. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. I gave her the 2d6.
That makes sense.
All which right. I can't actually find.
You gave me 7 at that point. So, yeah, without that, I would be minus 1 of my normal hit points. But because you topped me off, I'm still technically above 100.
So, right. There is a matching Marwise-shaped indentation in the ceiling. That is directly above the Marwise indentation in the floor.
At least it's symmetrical.
Yes, we're going to symmetry. And next to you is a Daldane creating a very similar indentation because a 10's not going to cut it. Daldane, I rolled for you. You are taking 8 points of bludgeoning damage and are equally embedded in the ceiling. And what was Gox's roll?
14 on the dice, constitutions plus 7. Okay. See, he turned around the other way with the battle axe, so it worked.
Okay, and with your con save, I'm just going to say that you were close enough to the ceiling that when the G-forces started kicking in, you had enough time to right yourself, so now, oh, what a feeling, you're standing on the ceiling. Not, in fact, dancing, because this doesn't seem to be the time or the place for that.
No, not at all.
But you are standing right next to Zeely, and... The hatch.
I'm on a feeling. I'm high on believing.
And there's our
conversation. That I'm inverted now.
I don't think I need to believe that we're really high.
There's no ruling for disbelief for that. Now, as you look out the window, that it's wrong to say that Fiddle Punch opened it then you would have a hard time. Yeah, he moved away the blast shielding, let's put it that way. He opened the shutters. You can see that there's a lot of flame outside.
Don't worry about it. I think that's normal. I'm pretty sure that's normal.
Next session, the continent burns down.
Which might actually solve some of our problems.
Yeah, kind of.
It would kind of help.
The very next session, the mountain core is just there hanging out on the continent, laughing like crazy. You should have seen them running. It was... What's that sound? Lands right on the Mountain Core's head. Zizi comes out and finds out Mountain Core is already dead. Her vengeance has been taken from her by a very large tower.
Take the Mountain Core's ruby slippers.
I was going to say, I think we already know where the wizard is.
A bunch of halflings come out, tell you they represent the lollipop trees. Actually, they'd probably be gnomes.
As Punchkin City Coroner, I've legally examined her.
Oh no!
This is horrible, and I'm here for this content. All right, so you make a controlled descent. You hope it's a controlled descent. Fiddle Punch is moving levers and stuff. Oddly enough, you note that he's not pressed up against the ceiling like the rest of you. He's walking around like normal.
Hey, Fiddle Punch, get those anti-gravity boots.
Oh, anti-gravity boots don't work in here. These are gravity boots.
Ah.
Anti-gravity boots, I'd be bouncing around like a ping pong ball.
That could be fun.
Well, it is fun at parties until you knock over a bunch of drinks, and then you have to apologize. Lucanide did not get invited back after that. And I still apologize to him for that every now and then. But never mind about that.
We need to build a giant sphere and have someone just take a running start in anti-gravity boots and then jump off. That was attempted.
Yes. We still read about that in gnomish history books.
Is he still bouncing?
Technically, he probably was pulled into the sun 3 centuries ago. Which, you know, isn't a bad run since he attempted everything 4 centuries ago.
It's a fair cop.
Yeah. In any case, brace for impact!
Oh, no.
I don't think I have much choice in the matter.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know you meant literally.
Sorry, I'm checking the specific wording of something.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
As a DM who already knows what's going to happen next, so far as Fiddle Punch is concerned, I can't wait to see how things change.
No, unfortunately, the wording of that spell is frustratingly clear.
Okay. So, good news and bad. Rather than a very sharp impact of what you would expect to happen if something falls from orbit, there is a slight bump, and you hear the sound of an engine winding down. And you've landed. He kicks the console again, and the sound stops.
Why does it keep doing that?
Oh, so that was the good news. The bad news is you were all on the ceiling.
Oh,
it's true.
Yeah.
Everyone except, now I'm going to say, Marwise, you're fine because you've activated your boots in the beginning. So you're okay. And Zili, you've got wings. So you're okay. Neither of you has to worry about this. Gox and Daldane, give me dexterity saves.
Okay. I've rolled a 10 and dexterity is plus 2.
I've rolled a 7 plus 8.
Yeah, I did roll a 10 and plus 2. Okay, I got my numbers right.
Okay. Daldane, you're going to take 5 points of damage from impact. And okay. Gox, you are going to take 10 points of damage from impact.
Okay. No problem. 10 points of damage from impact is like what he went through in the last battle over and over. He's fine. You know?
And at this point, no one has exceeded the temporary hit points they were given. This has been the most unimpactful episode.
Right.
Provided you are not a ceiling or a floor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or someone's emotions.
Yeah.
Well, Marwise is just determined to pioneer snow angels into the metal art form.
This is the most use I think anyone has ever gotten out of temporary hit points without combat having being entered in the entire session.
True.
Some people have crash suits and seat belts. Other people have temporary hit points. You're all fine. The most dangerous part of this is, had the vomit gotten into any of the consoles, there would have been other things that would have taken place.
Yes.
So that was a very well done. I think it was a nat 20 that
you rolled. Hesitation, holy cow!
Yeah.
And even if it hadn't been a natural 20, there were two of us.
Yeah.
but you have landed, and as you look out the window now, you see trees.
If we have to do that again, just tie me to a chair and strap that puke bag on my face.
Oh.
Duly noted. We could also have you hang out in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Blowing into my thumb. There we go.
On second thought, no, the bathroom's a Oh no. I never retrofitted the bathroom for zero G.
Prestidigitation.
I hope none of you has to go.
Well, there are trees outside. We can make things work. You just go behind a tree, says the barbarian.
But right. Let's just say that what went down might have come up.
Oh, that's not
prestidigitation. So much prestidigitation. Well, I had a plumber in my house today. Prestidigitation.
Oh, no.
My plumber that I usually use is way too far away to make a house visit right now. We're not even in the same time zone.
Plumber teleports in. Hey, what's going on? You got a total problem? All right.
He's going to charge me after hours prices now. Oh, no. I don't have the gold for this.
It's after 5 p.m. What are you going to do?
I could have fixed it myself.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have paid me.
Did this plumber transport over here out of a little tube? It's a me. I don't know if I finish that if there's a copyright strike. So,
yeah, it's a me, Guido. Come on.
Actually, this is topical because Nintendo just threw out a lot of copyright strikes against YouTubers.
Yeah, you don't mess with Nintendo. That's why I didn't finish that.
Well, before, they would send out the copyright notice and they would just take the revenue from the YouTube video because that's something that YouTube does. But no, they've switched tactics. Now they're sending out actual copyright strikes and people are getting shut down.
YouTube changed something about that, but...
I remember when they did that with the first Super Mario Maker.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but YouTube will still let that what you just said happen, but it's trying to prevent content owners from taking all the revenue from a really long video because, like, 2 seconds of accidental music got in there. Like, if someone's doing a video outside and a car drives by with, like, 2 seconds of song or something, you know. Anyway.
And in this case, I think it was mostly channels that were taking game soundtracks and wholesale uploading them, which, now, you don't have a legal leg to stand on for doing that.
No, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. There's no good reason.
In any case.
Yeah. Look, we have lost the plot entirely here.
Yeah, the background music has sped up double speed because we're getting close to the end.
You should consider yourself lucky. I didn't bring my brother Giuseppe. You're not going to have any plants because there's no pipes. It's just a toilet. So come on.
Punch open
I'm
going to
take
door.
A look at it. I'm going to take a look at it. I'll get you fixed up. What are you doing here? Madre de Dios. Come on. All right. I'll be 15 minutes. This will be fine. All right. I just got to get a snake out. All right.
Okay, but where do the badgers and mushrooms come in?
They're not till later. Don't. Look.
Is there a badger still in here?
I heard all the jokes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Fiddle Punch has adopted the very angry badger because he didn't know what to do with it otherwise. He named it Weeble.
Weeble?
Yes.
Aww.
Look, you want me to get my brother? I'll get my brother. Hey, it's a me, Giuseppe. All right, look, me and Giuseppe, we're going to clean up your toilet. It'll be 15 minutes tops. All right, okay. I'll be out of your hair.
Fiddle Punch sighs heavily. It is a sound that you are all familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Gox hears it a lot. It's just apparently how Fiddle Punch breathes.
Probably. Yeah, he thinks maybe Fiddle Punch has a breathing problem, you know? Like,
yeah.
Got some asthma or something.
Yeah, something like that. Although that kind of asthma seems to be incredibly common with people who are around Gox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But in any case...
Well, you know, Gox sneezed one time in the library with the dust, so he just assumes that they've got some kind of allergy that just doesn't happen to affect him.
Yeah. It might be.
It's possible.
But Fiddle Punch looks at all this and he sighs and he turns towards the kobolds and says, "This is probably going to take a lot more than 15 minutes. There was one time I was told it would take 2 weeks, and 2 months later they had gotten started. It was a money pit, I'm telling you. But in any case, maybe you should go out and scout around. Just remember where we parked, because technically the tower is still invisible."
Oh. How are we going to remember that?
I have a feature from my background, if I can find it. There it is. Feature, Wanderer. You have an excellent memory for maps and geography, and you can always recall the general layout of terrain, settlements, and other features around you.
That's going to be very useful, because it's also going to be the scene from the one Star Trek movie where they go back in time and the Klingon bird of prey. Bird of prey, rather. Like, everyone remember where we parked.
Yeah.
There's some indentations of where the spaceship landed in the park.
Yep.
So
with a flattened trash can.
Yes. As you step out into a brave new world that does not yet have transparent aluminum. But oddly enough, still has whales.
Do we have some wood?
There's trees.
You're stepping out into a forest.
Okay.
So you have wood. It's pre-lumber form. But you also have a barbarian with a battle axe. And a responsible pyromaniac. So whatever form you want.
I feel like I should avoid casting Wall of Fire.
Your name is not Sanctimonious. that's a different campaign and a different character, also an NPC. So right as you are stepping out into this world, the credits roll. That's the end of this episode. Because we've been playing for 2 hours.
We got to get in the basement. You got a floor under the basement? Come on.
Giuseppe, I did have a floor under the basement. It is still back in Coombridge.
It's back in Coombridge. All right, I understand. Look, all right. So we are going to have to charge you a little extra for this, but we'll get your toilet working. 50 minutes tops. We just got to get access to your bottom floor. That's all.
Okay. FYI, you've been telling me 15 minutes for the past 3 hours. Have you started the clock at any point?
Yeah, of course. We started the clock 15 minutes ago. Come on. All right, so...
This is great because they get paid by the hour, and I'm only going to be paying for 15 minutes of work. This is fantastic.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic. It's fantastic for you. It's fantastic for us. The union doesn't have to hear about this. So all we got to do is get access to your bottom floor. We'll be fine.
Okay, but just so you know, the pipes that have the little black and yellow symbol on it with a little circle in the middle and these triangles sticking out, have rounded edges to them.
Yeah.
Don't touch the water that's in those pipes.
I told you, Giuseppe. I told you not to loosen that nut. I told you. Well, look, it's a nut. It was leaking. I gotta tighten it. All right, look.
Well, Giuseppe's gonna be fine. Just that he has two heads now instead of one.
I gotta confess to you. This might take a little bit more than 15 minutes. Okay, maybe 7.
This is our life now.
Yeah.
So picture, if you will, this whole conversation just sort of fades out as the camera pans back and back and back into space again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This has been a fantastic game filled with fantastic people. We were joined tonight by Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy, and Arkbeth is
We've
in
all
chat.
Done our plugging.
We've already done it. Yay.
Yes, we already done our plugging, but again.
Actually, that's why all the plumbers.
Oh.
yeah, that's true.
You got your
That's true. We got to unplug it so that you all can get your credit so that we can end the session. We're not going to be able to unplug the session for at least 15 minutes. So you guys go
longest
ahead.
Outro ever.
Oh my gosh.
I did the plugs in the beginning, and this is still the longest outro ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.